prophet Jeremiah made a startling statement when he said, "Destruction upon destruction is cried, for the whole land is spoiled. Suddenly are my tents spoiled." And that's the title of the message this morning, Spoiled Tents. "Suddenly are my tents spoiled, and my curtains in a moment." Then in verse 30 he said, "And when thou art spoiled, what wilt thou do?" Notice the two parallel statements. My tents are destroyed. And when thy tents are destroyed, what wilt thou do? The country was at war. The people lived in tents, symbolizing the body. Paul wrote to the Philippian church and said, "If this earthly tabernacle or tent be dissolved, we have a temple, an eternal home. Take the baby to the nursery quickly. And others, you'll save embarrassment if you'll go ahead and do it the first of the service." That's a rule of our church, and it's kept rigidly. The prophet Jeremiah said, "You're living in tents." He said, "When your tents are destroyed, what will you do?" They could be destroyed in a minute. The enemy lurks on every side. We may have a battle this afternoon. Who knows? This afternoon the enemy may come, and our tents, temporary as they are, may be destroyed. And then he said, later on, he said, "Are you ready? If your tents be destroyed, what will you do?" There are two things he gives them. First, a reminder. Second, a warning. He said, first, your tents can be destroyed just like that. And then he said, secondly, what will you do if they are? Are you ready for the destruction of your tents? If the enemy comes, and who lurks even now in the shadows, and suddenly your tents are destroyed, and the curtains are folded, and the sides are leveled, and the tent is destroyed, what will you do? Let me ask you a question this morning. What are you going to do when your tent's destroyed? The Bible says that our bodies are like tents. In John 1:14 it says, "The Word became flesh and tabernacled," or tented, "among us." And Paul wrote the Philippians and said, "If our earthly house of this tabernacle, this tent, be destroyed, we who are saved, we are prepared for the destruction of our tents, for we have a home eternal in the heavens." We are prepared for the destruction of our tents. The first is a reminder. He said, "Your tents will be destroyed." Your tents will be destroyed. I was watching these young folks sing, "God only knows how I love these kids. God only knows the dreams and the tears and the sleepless nights that we spend because of our teenagers." As we were singing a while ago, first I was thanking God for them, and then I was praying for God to help them to become all that He wants them to become. But I thought about these kids. Now, yesterday, basketball tournament. Tent seemed so secure. I was thinking about you preacher boys. You boys sang this morning. Most of them are preacher boys. We have a rule in our church. No girl can date a boy that's not a preacher. And no preacher boy can date. We save a lot of problems that way. But I was thinking about these preacher boys. Life is so uncomplicated now. But all the tears and heartaches that these kids will have to endure. The sorrows, the battles, the heartaches. Your tents will be destroyed. Two proud parents in this room this morning. Not too long ago, went to a little crib and placed their baby in the crib and kissed it goodnight. Went off to sleep. Next morning, as they had done for days, out of bed, in to see how the baby was doing, and found the baby dead. No warning. Suddenly, their tents were destroyed. Suddenly, the night came. Suddenly, one night, things are all right. One night, pitch the baby up and catch it. One night, make the baby smile. One night, say Dada and Mama. And before the morning, suddenly, the tents are destroyed. And the baby's body lies beneath the sod, not far from here this morning. A woman kissed her husband goodbye. She's in this room this morning. She kissed her husband goodbye. He never came again. He was well. They were happy. Nothing seemed wrong. Sun was at noonday. Everything was all right. He never came back. His body lies not far from here this morning. Suddenly, the tents were destroyed. A young man in our church went to give a pint of blood not long ago. One of his buddies was in need of blood. He went to the hospital to give a pint of blood. They checked his blood to see if he had the right type. And without his even having the slightest intonation or forewarning, they found he had leukemia. And we saw him wilt away. And he's gone. Healthy, he thought. Happy. The prime of life. Young man in his early 20s. Everything before him. Suddenly, his tents were destroyed. A young man in our church went for a checkup. He had no idea anything was wrong. Went for a regular checkup. They found he was seriously ill. He's gone. Belshazzar feasts in his palace, and suddenly his tents were destroyed. And Job has a great time one night with his family, and the next day his tents are destroyed. And Pharaoh sits in the palace, and the next night his tents are destroyed. And so it is. Jacob sends Joseph away with a kiss, his favorite son, away with a kiss. The next thing he finds is his bloody coat of many colors. A preacher recently walked before his beloved people. I thought this morning, as I think every Sunday morning, as I looked out, what a privilege to be a pastor. What a joy to be a preacher. And what a joy to have the greatest people in all the world before me every Sunday morning, Sunday night, and Wednesday night. But a preacher walked before his people recently, and all of a sudden, everything is fine. Never better. A big day. Enthusiasm gripped the church, and suddenly, in the pulpit, a pain in his chest, a touching of his breast, and stumbling and crumbling to the floor. Suddenly, his tents are destroyed. A young couple in this church married, happy as married couples can be in their early days. Wasn't long, year or so, till the baby came. Happy. Brightest days of life. Sun was shining, not a cloud in the sky, they thought. Suddenly the fellow began to feel bad. He went to the doctor. The doctor said it's cancer. He came to my office. He said, Brother Hiles, I'm not afraid to die, but my wife and my baby, I'm just 22 years of age. My wife and baby. They called me to the hospital. I went out. He looked up and he said, Brother Hiles, I think I'm dying. The next day, or a few hours later, his wife was beside him, and he looked up and said, Sweetheart, where are we going? And she said, We're not going anywhere. Oh, he said, That's right. I'm the only one going. Where am I going? And he looked up and he said, Donna, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful. And I stood here, and she sat there, little baby in the hospital, sick. And suddenly their tents were destroyed. All the dreams crumbled in a day. All the hopes crumbled in a day. All their plans for the future crumbled in a day. And their tents were destroyed. I went to get a haircut just a few feet from where I stand now this week. For you pastors, we at Hammond believe in haircuts and practice them. In fact, this morning, every Sunday morning, if you want to see something, I don't think you can get in, but I'll tell you what goes on this morning. We'll have a bus teenage service with hundreds of teenagers this morning in the chapel. I said this morning, about 12:30. And we'll give the invitation, and scores of teenagers will be saved. And then they'll give an invitation for those that have long hair, want to get haircuts. They'll come forward. They'll go upstairs. We had three barbers waiting. I guess we do. We always do. Three barbers. We'll give free haircuts this morning to all the long-haired and preachers. We'd be glad for you to go and get your haircut this morning. God knows a lot of you need to get a haircut this morning. But we believe in haircuts. We went to get a haircut. A few feet where I stand now. Walked in. I sat down in the barber's chair. I said, "Were you off Wednesday?" He said, "Well, yes." I said, "You closed on Wednesdays?" "No." I said, "Well, I came by Wednesday afternoon late to get a haircut, and you were closed." He said, "It's my son-in-law." "What's wrong with the son-in-law?" "We buried him." "What happened?" "He left home. Go to work. He never came back. He was killed in a car wreck. My daughter, her two little children, are left. Who knows?" "Dr. Billings, who knows but what you stood at chapel at Hiles Anderson College for the last time? Suddenly your tents could crumble like that. Who knows what this might be the last time I'll stand behind this pulpit and preach to my people? Suddenly my tent could crumble just like that." Jeremiah said, "You're in war. Don't be at ease. Your tents could crumble. Are you ready?" I sat one day, probably the happiest kid preacher in the whole world. Except I didn't have much power. Had a little church. People that loved me. I was 20, or in my early 20s. People loved me. They had fought battles with me. I had a fine church for a kid in his early 20s. Sitting one morning reading the Dallas Morning News. Everything was all right. Sun was at its zenith. Brightness of the day had never been more manifested in my life than it was then. Telephone rang, and with the ring of that telephone, my tents began to crumble. Operator said, "Reverend Jack Hiles." I said, "Brother Hiles." "Go ahead, sir." And the voice on the other end of the line announced me of my crumbled tent when he said, "Your father just dropped dead with a heart attack." Suddenly, my tents were destroyed. Ladies and gentlemen, you may this morning be living at noontime, but it may be midnight before dark. This morning, you may be living with the sun shining brightly. Your sun may have shined its last time. Today, your tents is that close from crumbling. It won't be long. It may be that before the week is out, you'll pace the floor in a hospital, up and down the hall. Inside the intensive care unit, there lies one that's the dearest in this world to you. And with every passing of every moment, it seems like it's been an eternity. It may be before next Sunday, you'll be huddled over a little cold mound of dirt out in a cemetery. And the preacher may be saying a few words of comfort to you. And the funeral undertaker may be saying, "Now go back to your cars." And you may go back to an empty place at the table, or an empty place in bed, or an empty spot in your home, or an empty spot in your life. Who knows when our tents will crumble? Suddenly, our tents may be destroyed. Then the second thing that Jeremiah said to his people, first he said, "I want to give you a reminder, your tent, by the way, you'll be happier when you look upon life strictly as a tent and not a temple. You'll be happier when you accept the joys of life as tents and not monasteries. You'll be happy when you accept the joys of life as tents and not skyscrapers. You'll be happier when you take what you have in life and say, 'Tis God's, belongs to God. He's let me have it for a while. He'll take it back sooner or later. I'll enjoy it now, but prepare for the day when I don't have it. 'Tis but a tent. Money is but a tent, it'll pass away. Health is but a tent, it'll pass away. Smile is but a tent, it'll pass away. Popularity is but a tent, it'll pass away. Fame is but a tent, it'll pass away. Pleasure is but a tent, it'll pass away. Liquor is but a tent, it'll pass away. Narcotics but a tent, they'll pass away. Everything of this life will pass away. Set your affection on that which will never pass away, not on something just temporary like a tent." So he says, "I want to give you a warning. Are you ready?" I don't mean just are you ready if you die. I mean are you ready if your tent were to crumble this morning. First suggestion is very simple. To get ready for the crumbling of your tent, win your family to Christ. Win your family. Did you know if you get your family saved, the crumbling of the tent is not quite as bad? I mentioned about Steve McKeegan a while ago, who died just a few weeks ago at the hospital in Chicago, who said, "Donna, it's so beautiful. It's so beautiful." That doesn't make it so bad. That doesn't make it so bad. My mother's here this morning. My mother and father. My mother, when she was nine, her mother died. She had to cook for a family at the age of nine, keep house. And then when she was 17, she married. She married too young. Dumb thing. But she married too young. She says she married and she's 19. She's just trying to impress me. I've seen this record. But she married a man who wasn't a saved man. And God gave him a little baby. But the baby, when she got a certain age, mother noticed she couldn't move normally. It wasn't long till she found that she couldn't talk, and little Florine laid flat on her back for 7 years. Never said mama, never said daddy. She died at seven. God placed a little baby in their home named Hazel, healthy baby. Her tent was not weak. Her tent was not one that looked like it would crumble soon. When Hazel was seven, she had the measles. She got well, they thought, but she had a relapse of the measles, and Hazel died. For the second time, my mother had to follow a hearse out to a little baby land. And down Italy, Texas, this morning, there are two little mounds beside each other, one for Florine and one for Hazel. Her tent had crumbled. But when Hazel died, she looked to my mother, and the second of both first two babies died, and both of them at seven. Hazel looked at mother, and she said, "Mama, I just feel like I'm going up in the air to be with Jesus." It doesn't make it so bad then. It's been now quite a while. Many years. Mother's 104 now. And she's 85. When mother was about 80, they put her in a Sunday school class with a bunch of ladies 70 or over. And mother said, "I'm not going to go in there with all those old ladies." It doesn't make it so bad. Oh, yeah. She's 85 now, really. She's 85. She'll be, 1887. She'll be 86 in December. And it's been now, oh, my, it's been 60 years since Hazel died. But what's 60 years compared to 10 million years? Huh? What's 60 years compared to forever and ever and ever and ever and ever? That's why the Apostle Paul could say, "Sorrow not as those that have no hope." He isn't saying don't sorrow. He isn't saying those that have hope shouldn't sorrow. He's saying it's a different kind of a sorrow. I was out at O'Hara Field. I live out there. I was out at O'Hara Field. I saw two mothers saying goodbye to sons and fathers with sinus conditions recurring, as they tried to make like they weren't weeping as their sons were leaving. And I saw one mother hug her son, and she said, "Oh, son, I'll miss you. Take care of yourself." I saw the other mother, she hugged her son, and she said, "Oh, son, I'll miss you. Take care of yourself." One son was wearing a uniform on his way to Vietnam. The other son was wearing a sweater with a letter on the side. He was going back to college. It looked like they were crying the same way, but they weren't. Both of them said about the same words, but they didn't mean the same thing. The tears, the same chemical content, but not the same tears. One mother was saying, "Son, I'll miss you, but you'll be home for Christmas." The other mother was saying, "Son, I'll miss you, but you may never come home again." Oh, thanks be to God. If your tents crumble, be sure your family's saved. Prepare yourself for the crumbling tents. About once a month, I have a dream that my dad gets saved. He died a drunkard's death a week ago, a week before last. I was sleeping. I was in a distant city, some motel, and I dreamed, and I thought I was alive. I thought it was real. And my daddy walked the aisle in this church. And the people said, "We don't want that old drunkard in this church." I said, "I do. I do." And somebody said, "He can't even read and write." My dad couldn't even write his own name. He's just an old town drunk. Nobody. I said, "I do." And a lot of folks walked out of the church. And I had to move to, we had to move to Black Oak. We lived out in Black Oak, a little house out there. My dad lived with me.
He came to church. And the deacons voted to make him a deacon. And I woke up. I thought it was real. I thought it was real. But it wasn't. That's why last Sunday morning when that young preacher boy, Hiles Anderson College, brought it, his dad came to visit and his dad was saved. That's why my heart was rejoicing and breaking at the same time. Why? I give 10,000 times all I have or ever will have to relive just a chance to get my dad saved again. If your tents crumble, be sure your family's saved. Number two, since your tents can crumble so suddenly, do everything for God you can do today. Do it now. Dr. Billings, I never have lived in my life in a time when I think we don't have time to play around anymore. It's time to get work for God. Tents are crumbling. My tent is not what it ought to be. Sometimes the bottom of my tent gets a little shaky. The top of my tent is getting a little barren. My tent is shaped too much like a tent. But that's one reason why I try to take care of it. It's all I have. It's not much, but it beats yours. But it's all I have. I have two hands. They're not as strong as somebody's hands, but they're his. I have a face. It's not as handsome as others, but it's his. I have a tongue. It's not as eloquent as others, but it's his. I have feet. They're not as swift as others, but they're his. I want to give them to him to serve him while I have time before my tents crumble. Give him all you can today. Last night before I left, I do what I do every Saturday night. I went to the north wall of my study and knelt before a great number of pictures. Seth Duffy, your picture's there. Over 90 preacher boys of mine preaching around the world today. And I begin to pray, Lord, bless Bill Watkins today. He's fighting some battles. God bless old Bill tomorrow while he preaches. And bless Tom Smith. He's got a tough go. And bless him while he preaches. And thank God for old Terry. Set him on fire tomorrow while he preaches. And I prayed around my preacher boys, and I got off my knees, and I said, blessed be God, I'm glad I'm in some business that's eternal and something that lasts and something that never passes away. Your tents may crumble tomorrow. Your health may be gone. Your family may be gone. Your children may be taken. Your job may be gone. Jesus may come. Death may come. Heartache may come. Sadness may come. Heartbreak may come. Your tents may crumble. Get ready for it. Serve God what you can. Number three, be sure you're saved. Be sure you're saved. Know in your heart you're God's child. I was a paratrooper in World War II. I was a rigger. I packed the parachutes for the entire company. I'm sorry, my company packed the parachutes for the entire regiment. And I was always careful. Because inside the chute was a little log book, and I had to sign that log book on the day I packed the chute. I was always careful. But there was about once every month or two when I was especially careful. Because the captain would come around and say, Hiles! Yes, sir, Captain Fuller. I said, you're jumping today. Pack you a chute. Oh, boy. Man, I took that parachute and looked. I memorized every piece of silk in that parachute. Man, I packed it so carefully. When I'd put those suspension lines in that case, no two lines ever crossed each other. Man, I manicured that thing. You know why? Because when I jumped, I wanted to walk away. And then we'd stand in the airplane. The sergeant would say, "Check equipment," and you'd check the equipment. You check the parachute of the fellow in front of you, standing facing the rear of the plane. And I'd check the fellow in front of me, but I'd always turn around and say, hey, buddy, you're a good guy. I'm going to buy you a steak dinner tonight. Check it carefully, buddy. That's my life. There beats in your breast this morning a soul. There beats in your breast something that'll never die.
There beats in your breast this morning something eternal. It'll live in heaven with Christ, hell, forever, dependent upon your preparation. Be sure you're saved. Years ago in Newcastle, England, a man went to try to rent a house on the top of a big hill. He looked through the house, and as he looked through the house, he was impressed. And the owner said, "Come up here." Took him up to the top of the house, and he said, "Look at that. From the top of this hill, look at that." He looked out, and you could see a long ways. And the owner said, "On Sundays, you can see all the way to Durham Cathedral from right here." And the fellow said, "Why on Sundays? Why not on Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and Saturday?" And the old man said, "Because there's no smoke to block the vision on Sundays." From where I stand this morning, this Sunday morning, I can see all the way to heaven. And there's no smoke to block the vision. Your tent's going to crumble. Be sure you're ready. Jeremiah was a weeping prophet. Jeremiah stood and begged the people, turned to God and cried and lamented every judgment of God, and wept and pleaded with the people. He said, "Mine eyes are like rivers of waters. Is it nothing to you, all you that pass by, wagging your heads and hissing? Is it nothing? Don't you care about the destruction of the city and of the people?" Finally, Jeremiah said, "Your tents will suddenly crumble. If your tents be destroyed, what wilt thou do?" I was thinking this morning, here at First Baptist, we're riding on top. We're riding on top of the mountain. Forgive me for saying it, and I don't say it because I'm bragging. I say it because our people deserve every bit of praise they can get. But we have the largest Sunday school in the world, average attendance. Not, there are many wonderful Sunday schools. And I hope somebody beats us, but I hope they have to go mighty fast to do it. But I'm saying our church is at its zenith. Our college is closing the best year any college could have had. Yesterday morning, snowing. Woke up, it's snowing. Snow on the ground. Some of the college girls couldn't have a car to go soul winning in because some reason or other they were crying. Snow on the ground. Snowing. Wind blowing in gusts up to 40 and 50 miles an hour. And the girls couldn't go soul winning. And Brother Hilton called over and told one of the girls, said, "You can use my car to go." And he said you could hear the girl shouting and praising God. "Oh boy, we have a car. Now we can go soul winning." I'm going to tell you a story tonight that you've never heard the like of in your life before. Something happened at our college. Greatest year you've ever seen. Our college had a basketball game. We could go Friday night. We could go Saturday. We could go Saturday. College basketball game. You know how many of our students were there? How many? 8. Where are the rest of them? Soul winning. Basketball game. Didn't even have a student for every bench. I'm not against going to a basketball game. I'm simply saying that we're closing the greatest year any college has ever had. We have our high school. Is it at the top, the zenith? Wonderful school and great church and the best day. Last year, we baptized almost 4,000 people. We have baptized 3 times as many this year as we had this up to this time last year. But tents are temporary. Tents can crumble. It may be before the evening sets, this body may lie in state. It may be before the evening sets, Dr. Billings will be taken from us. It may be soon those doors will open and armed men will walk in, stand before us and say, "Die or deny the Savior." It may be instead of 10,000 in Sunday school, we'll have 100 in Sunday school. But brother, it doesn't really matter to me what comes. If this old tent crumbles, it'll be with Christ. If my tent crumbles and all of a sudden sorrow and heartache and clouds come, doesn't matter. He who entered me 35 blessed years ago will never leave me nor forsake me. What does it matter, as the old preacher said, if I live, Christ is with me. If I die, I'm with Christ. I'm prepared for the crumbling of the tents. Are you?
you. Suddenly, thy tents shall be destroyed or spoiled. And if thy tents be spoiled, what wilt thou do? Got up from bed, distant city, and I said, "Dear Lord, I thought that was real." My daddy had knocked on my door. He said, "Hi, son." I said, "Dad, I thought you were dead." "No, it was a mistake. I've been alive all these years." He walked down this aisle. He knelt here. I baptized him right up here. I woke up and I said, "I thought it was true. I thought it was true." I got on the airplane that day. I was looking for a seat and I saw a man that looked like my daddy. And I sat down beside him. Opened the Word of God and told him about Jesus, and he was sweetly saved. And I said, "Dear God, if I can't win mine, I'll win thousands of others. If your tents be destroyed, what will you do?" Let us pray. Our Heavenly Father, sweep over this building now. Do what we can't do. Speak words we can't speak. Pierce hearts we can't pierce. Do what words can't do. Do what human tears can't do. Do what persuasion can't do. Burn in the hearts of the people in this room this morning. Our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. No one is leaving or moving. Everyone is quiet and still. How about your tents? They're not permanent. They're not permanent. They'll be destroyed. The sunshine will not always be at noonday or high noon. The clouds will not always be absent from your sky. And the raindrops will not always stay away from your house. The howling winds will not always be absent from your life. For soon the clouds will come, and soon the sun shall set, and soon the winds will howl, and soon the darkness will come. Just as sure as noonday comes, midnight is on its way. I wonder how many would say, "Brother Hiles, if my tent were destroyed this morning, I mean with that if my body were destroyed this morning, if I died today, tonight, every eye is closed, young people, if today or tonight, I stood in this pulpit and I said, called your name and said, passed away this afternoon suddenly with a heart attack, or was killed in a car wreck going home from church this morning, what would you do? If your tent should suddenly be destroyed, what would you do?" I wonder how many would say, "Brother Hiles, I may not be all I ought to be, but blessed be God, I've settled this matter of my soul. I know I'm saved. I'm born again. If I died today, I'd go to heaven, and I know I would. I've no doubt about it in my mind. I know I would." Would you lift your hand, please? Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. You can drop your hands. Blessed be God. Our heads are bowed and eyes are closed. Some of you couldn't raise your hand. God loves you just as much as He loves us. In fact, at this moment, His love is spread your way more than toward us. No one is leaving. Everyone is still and quiet. Just stay right where you are. I wonder how many would say, "Brother Hiles, I couldn't raise my hand, but I know I've got to die. And I know I have to go to heaven or hell. And I don't know where I'm going. I do not know that I'm ready to die. I do not know that I'm saved, but I wish I did. I want to go to heaven, but I don't know that I'm going." First on the lower floor, with no one looking, but no one on the lower floor. How many would say, "Brother Hiles, pray for me. I know I've got to die. I know my body's but a tent. I know it's not here to stay. I know it's not eternal. But I don't know I'm ready to die. Pray for me that I might be saved and know it. Pray for me that I might know that I'm going to heaven." On the lower floor, lift your hands so I can know that you want us to pray for you. Lift it way up high. God bless you. God bless you, sir. God bless you, young man. Who else on the lower floor? God bless you, sir. I see your hand in the center aisle. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, pray for me. I don't know that I'm ready to die, but I wish I did. Lift your hand for prayer. God bless you, little lady. Who else on the lower floor? You want to know that you're saved. God bless you, dear lady. I see your hand. God bless you here next to the aisle. God bless you on my left. God bless that lady over here on my left. God love you. God bless the lady back here in the center. God bless you. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, pray for me. I don't know that I'm ready to die, but there beats in my breast an immortal soul. Well, I've got to go somewhere. I don't know that I'm going to heaven. God bless you. Way back on the back row, I see your hand on the left. God love you. Who else on the lower floor? You'd say, pray for me when you pray. I want to know that I'm saved, but I don't know it now. Pray for me. I want to go to heaven, but I don't know I'm going there. Pray for me. God bless you back in the back. God bless you. Who else on the lower floor? Pray for me. Pray for me. I want to be saved and know it. Lift your hand, please. On the lower floor, who else? Quickly, would you lift your hand? Quickly. God bless you. In the balcony on my left, that's the east balcony. You'd say, Brother Hiles, I want to go to heaven, but I'm not going there. I'm not saved, but I want to be. Pray for me. Would you raise your hand, please? The east balcony. Would you lift your hand? God bless you, young man. God love you. Who else? The east balcony. Pray for me. I want to be saved and know it. God bless those two next to the aisle. I see you. God bless you. Who else? Would you lift your hand? In the center balcony, would you raise your hand for prayer? Say, pray for me. God bless you. God bless you, sir. I see those two hands. God bless both of you. Yes. Are there others in the center balcony? Oh, you've got to die. Your tent's going to be destroyed. You're not here forever. Yes. God bless you. You're not here forever. You can put your hand down. I see you. You're not here forever. Your tent, your body is a tent. It's not a temple. Your body is a tent. It's not a cathedral. Your body is a tent. It's not a superstructure. Your body is a tent. It's not a high-rise apartment. Your body is a tent. It's not made of brick. Your body is a tent. It's made of canvas and curtains, and it'll not be here for long.